Hello, this is The Green Report, Rappler's show on the environment and the stories of people whose decisions impact the world around us. I'm G. Geronimo.
And I'm Ia Gozum.
Happy New Year, everyone!
Year.
We hope everyone had a restful and green, hopefully green, holidays. So we ended 2023 taking stock. Medyo seryoso yung episode natin
taking
when we
stock.
Ended. Taking stock of what happened during the COP28 in Dubai. So hindi na kami nakagawa ng...
Year-ender.
Dahil yun yung ender, ano namin, episode. But, so, dahil hindi tayo nakapag-year-ender, mag-year-opener na lang tayo. So, this is our first episode for 2024. Pero, bago ang lahat, Ia, meron ka bang sustainable New Year's resolution this year?
Yung resolution ko this year, sobrang simple lang niya. Pero, nahirapan taga ako si gawin siya. Which is magdala ng sariling tumbler. I know, sobrang simple lang niya. Pero, hindi talaga ako kasi nagdala ng tubig.
Mm-mm.
Tapos na-realize ko, simula naging reporter ako.
Na dehydrated ka.
Dehydrated pala ako. Kaya pala, ang daling uminit ng ulo.
Okay, noted.
Noted.
Pag mataray na yung reply kulang, sa akin ni Ia.
kulang sa tubig, sobra sa kape.
Yeah.
So, ano, nung Pasko, may mga nagpapadala ng regalo dito sa newsroom. May mga nagpadala ng tumbler sa editors. So, inano ko yung isang editor, hindi si Gian, ha?
Huwag natin pangalanan.
Sabi ko, sir, akin na lang ito kasi mukhang di mo naman gagamitin. So, yun ang dala ko ngayon dito. So,
okay.
hopefully. Pero may instance na kasi, tanay ko siya dalhin sa Baler. Tapos naiwan ko siya sa Nueva Ecija.
So, binalikan mo pa?
Tapos nabalikan naman.
So, at least, ano, so, marami ng storya yung Tumblr mo.
Yes. So, yung year-ender natin for 2024, balikan natin kung nasa akin pa yung Tumblr.
Kung hindi pa nawawala.
Hindi ko pa siya nawawala.
Kung saan ka man dadalhin ng mga coverage.
Yeah. Yun
lang?
You?
Isa lang ba? Sa akin, simple lang, magdala ng eco bag.
Okay.
Sana pala dala ko yung bag ko dito kasi may dala akong eco bag today.
Ay, yung tumbler dapat.
Oo nga. So, meron akong dalang eco bag today. Kasi hindi yung mga grocery runs ko, hindi ko naman siya pinaplano. So, every time na nakabili na ako, lagi kong ma-realize, hala, wala akong dalang eco bag.
Dapat pala nagdala.
Oo, ngayon meron na akong dalang eco bag. Medyo ready na ako to face 2024. Pero for our first episode of 2024, ang pag-uusapan natin ngayon ay ano yung mga ina-expect natin for this year. I know it's maybe nag-warm up pa lang tayo into the new year. Baka nga hindi pa nga masyadong nag-tune in sa news yung mga tao. Pero for us journalists, wala namang hindi natutulog ang balita. So as early as now, we're already thinking about the year ahead, what is going to happen. But before we do that, nag-predict din kasi tayo ng mga bagay-bagay
ng
2022.
Yes, dahil ganyan tayo, nagpe-predict tayo.
And gusto kong malaman, nagkatotoo ba yung mga sinabi natin? Dapat ba hindi natin siya sinabi? Or meron ba mga nangyari na hindi natin in-expect, di ba? So sige, papasadahan lang natin itong mga items na to na sinabi natin might happen in 2023. Yung unang item dyan is, ako yung nagsabi nito, sabi ko, stronger storms. Wala naman akong sinabi na Philippines lang. So,
okay.
I think, actually, hindi nga to prediction, more like, this is bound to happen with climate change, the issue of climate change. So, I think we can safely say na there were, in terms of locally though,
dahil nag-El Nino.
Oo, hindi ganun, hindi ating ganun karamdam ang
fewer typhoons this year.
Right.
Last year,
2023. But definitely in other parts of the world, merong mga mas malalakas na mga bagyo na hindi nila in-expect, di ba? So, I think nangyari naman to.
Although I think if in terms of weather patterns, parang siguro medyo mas kung yung pinredict natin ay magre-record break na hottest month, hottest day. Kasi mas yun yung naging balita this year, right? Like every month, laging
But every, that yun na nga I think, kaya urgent yung issue ng climate change. Kasi every year naman talaga, lagi nilang sinasabi, this is the hottest year on record. Parang, the urgency is there. Kaya mas lalong kailangan tutukan yung mga climate talks internationally and how it boils down or how it trickles down to the communities that actually implement yung mga plans. Ayun. So, unang item pa lang yun. Yung pangalawang item ko is, sabi ko, I want to know more about the plans of DENR and CCC. And I think it is safe to say na yes, we knew more of their plans. But more because the circumstance gets over. Parang dahil the circumstance had to, kailangan siyang mangyari. Kailangan nilang last year, reporters like you were able to finally I mean, bakit pala dito sinasabi, di ba? Pero that's a reality that we were in before. Na-interview na ng mas madalas si Secretary Tony Loizaga. Yes, I mean, i-compare mo from the few months that she was just new in the office, di ba? And, yun, siguro mas naramdaman natin siya in a way, but it didn't happen like normally, naturally. Kumbaga,
or as fast
as parang we would want. Kailangan pang magkaroon ng oil spill. Kailangan pang magkaroon
ng... for her to appear on...
Yes. To have her first interview, right? So, I mean, ilang months in yun, parang March, nagkaroon ng oil spill. Yeah. So, nakahalos 8 months na ba siya nun? So, would you say that this two agencies have been transparent? Have they engaged the press more?
I have a lot of feelings. Unpacking pala. Uh-oh. Pero, sa latter part ng taon, mas open na si Secretary to ambush interviews. Tapos, sobrang articulate naman kasi talaga ni Sec. Tapos, she really knows her stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, you have a question, she can answer it. Parang di na yun problema. Pero in terms of talagang media engagement, media rapport, parang marami pang
or room even for how her answers are understood by the public, kasi that's a different, gets mo ba?
Yeah, actually kasi dahil academe din yung background ni Sec, parang as a reporter na you're reporting to the public, hindi mo pwedeng ikot lahat yung sinasabi ni Sec kasi it's so dense with the technical stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So you really choose kung ano yung... Kasi merong mga public officials na talagang ano yung
alam
way
nila,
of pananalita nila, talagang madali sila kapag-explain.
Mm-hmm. Parang media savvy sila, kumbaga.
Yeah, media savvy sila. Tapos they keep it short and sweet. Tapos they hit the spot na agad-agad.
Mm-hmm.
Pero... si Sec, kasi she really explains it. Parang ayaw din niya na, dahil yung issue hindi black and white, she wants all nuances covered. Parang I think she's that kind of person. So, ayun, medyo heavy yung explanation, heavy on the technical stuff. So, you really have din to weave through it to report accurately and to report it in a way that the public would appreciate and understand.
Right. Pero at least, di ba? I mean, it's a step. Sana
but it's also a good sign because it means you have an environment secretary who knows her stuff.
That's true. Yeah. Na hindi kailangang magtawag ng ibang, ng ASEC at USEC to
yung
answer.
Parang,
ano yung sagot mo sa tanong? And then, my last prediction from last 2022 for 2023 was there would be more solutions journalism focusing on curbing plastic pollution.
Very specific.
Meron ba? We could have done more, I think. I mean, for Rappler. This is something na I think we could have pursued more. And that's something that nung nagpa-plan tayo for 2024, hindi na lang siguro micro-focus on plastic pollution, but really on sustainability of communities, of cities. And we'll talk about that later. Pero yun yung akin from 2022, 2023.
So, nung sa akin naman, una item is drier participation in COP28.
For the civil society.
For the civil society, naka-quote pa yung drier. Parang adjective eh.
Ikaw gawamit yun. Hindi ko naman yung gagawitin eh.
But kasi yung take away from COP27 noon, parang medyo disappointed yung mga tao. So parang every year na lang pala, ganun, after COP, disappointed yung mga tao. Which I think we saw that in COP28 when civil society groups sabi nila parang the DENR is not really engaging with them. Lalo na kasi ngayon nagkaroon ng first Philippine pavilion sa COP28. So civil society groups were really hoping na makapag-stage din sila ng mga events doon in partnership with the government. But I think that didn't happen. So, ayun. We actually interviewed Rodney Galicia, diba, of Living Laudato Si. And yun yung sentiment nila na they really hoped for more engagement with the Philippine government. Kasi yung magiging agenda ng Pilipinas, sa kanila hindi naman
magagaling. Right.
So, ito. Hope to see... Hope talaga. Ako ba yung nag-hope
dito? Ikaw yan,
hope to see more efforts in development and production of clean energy.
Silence.
Kuro. I think meron naman. Actually, yung bago matapos yung taon, mm-hmm. We had an interview with ASEAN CEO, tapos yun nilatag nila na this is their plans for the future, for making more renewable sources in the country. Pero yun nga, baby steps pa. Baby steps. Itong hope na to, ano to ha, I think forever.
Hope talaga.
hanggang 2024 siya.
Yeah, kasi, saka, I think, kasi until now, even the groups that really have a stake in this mm-hmm. energy transition, sila rin, they want a clear roadmap from the Department of Energy when it comes to transitioning away from fossil fuels, diba? So, siguro, yun nga, it's a hope that is continuing. Mm-hmm. And hopefully, mas maging aggressive yung mga companies that are involved in mm-hmm. energy production mm-hmm. to really go into cleaner energy. Parang hindi mo nahintayin na, alam mo yun, ikaw na yung mag-initiate.
Yeah. So, more than hope, we want to see more action, syempre, ngayon. Kasi kung hope naman, kung plano-plano, parang marami na tayong marami nang may batas na for that, na outline na yung targets, nagpa-pledge tayo ng nagsasign tayo ng mga commitments, like 2030, ito na yung mangyayari, triple, whatever. Pero, syempre, more action pa rin. And then, more youth participation in the climate movement.
Mm-hmm.
Wala namang ano to. Wala namang...
Parang ang, lagi namang, ang gusto mong... Ang sinasabi mo sana yung parang yung mga organizations. There will be more young people going into climate organizations in schools.
Which is what's happening. Kasi kunyari, may mga kausap ako ng mga NGO. Mm-hmm. Mga bata yung mga kausap ko eh.
Oh.
Mga comms people. Tapos parang you would hear about more organizations na natatayo na youth yung nagli-lead. Yeah. Mga youth organizations. Actually... Parang itong dalawang items na to, hindi nga siya prediction, parang wishlist yata.
Wishlist.
Wishlist as a hopeful person.
As a hopeful person. Pero now, for this year, what issues do you think would dominate environmental news in 2024? So, sisimulan ko. So, kami ulit ni Iya, like last year, we picked three items. Yeah. And inunahan ko na si Iya dun sa, sa energy transition. So, one of the thrusts of our team would be to report more on the energy transition. And I think what will happen in 2024 is, since we had that that decision text from COP28, it would be a year where the world will figure out what transitioning away from fossil fuel looks like.
Yeah.
So, there would be, because it's in the paper, it's historic in that sense, na nasa papel na, nasa decision text na yung transitioning away from the fossil fuel, which never made it to the text even before.
Not phasing out,
transitioning away. Mm-hmm. But still, fossil fuel being in the text, I think is yung pinaka-importante. Mm-hmm. What that would look like as 2030 nears, we're nearing the halfway mark of the deadline, the climate change deadline. So, the next two COPs would be very important. Mm-hmm. Yung sa 2024, it's in Azerbaijan. In 2025, it's Brazil, I think.
Brazil.
Yes. Yeah. So, that those 2 years are very crucial in terms of seeing something happening. Kasi pag tinignan mo yung progress, quote-unquote, from last year na nagkaroon ng loss and damage fund and then now nagkaroon itong decision text on transitioning away from fossil fuel, merong mas may pressure on countries to really act on what they are promising in these climate talks because that climate change deadline is fast approaching and we're almost halfway there.
And then kakabit niyan, so transitioning away from fossil fuels, I would expect more action then on putting up clean energy here in the Philippines.
Mm-hmm.
So parehas yan sa business side and the NGO side. So from businesses, syempre you would expect more businesses to put more investments. Pero when I talk to since Eric Francia, parang medyo sila pa rin lang yung nagli-lead
so,
ng way.
And very, just a few are going
very baby
into.
Steps. Oo, parang, for example, divesting from a coal-fired power plant, yung ginawa nila, this is the first here in the Philippines. So, marami pa tayong gagawin, pero I think this year, we would see a lot of developments.
But that's
because I'm a very hopeful person. So.
Oo nga, hindi ko pa natitilag eh. Pero
ano bang
takeaway mo from that interview with them?
That it's possible.
Talaga?
It's possible, oo. Tapos, syempre, dahil siya yung nakausap ko, I would say, malaki talaga yung nakaangkla dun sa leadership.
The leaders of the companies making that decision.
Yeah, kasi...
Pero how, what would that take for businesses to really buy in this? Or kailangan ba may pressure from outside forces like the government making deadlines?
No. I think it's just, we really just have to show na it's profitable for them. Yun lang siya. Parang...
That it's good business
too. That it's good, Parang yun naman yung ano, bottom line. Parang, will we make money from that? Diba? Kasi wala namang business na nag-business to have good leadership. Pero ang bottom line is, diba, you have to make money. That's why you put up a business, right? Yeah. So, maybe, ano ba to? Part ba to ng solution journalism? We show them na you can make profit from, diba? Na it's the viable business now.
Mm-hmm.
Na, fossil fuels, mawawala na ng pera dyan soon, in the future.
Mm.
And I think, for example, in China, that's what they're doing now. Yeah. They're really investing a lot in renewables because they want to, I won't say monopolize, pero they want to be a big part of the supply chain once the rest of the world catches up in the renewable, in the clean energy transition, right?
So they want to be the leader in that.
Yeah, they want firm clean energy supply for their own energy security in their own country.
Yeah,
but also they want to make good business and be ahead of others, right?
So we can learn a thing or two from that. The Philippines is
but that's China. That's a super. That's and a superpower.
And they have the resources, nga. So like,
What and they have the resources. That's billions of dollars.
Kaya nga, what does it take for a business to pivot their resources from putting it in that kind of energy, the old way, and then putting it in cleaner.
Maybe also kasi, state support din. State support din.
Right.
Oh, kasi lots of resources.
Gusto ko lang pala sabihin mo lang.
Actually, yun lang eh. So that's why a lot of vulnerable countries are pushing for, aside from the loss and damage fund, they're pushing for the adaptation fund.
Mm-hmm.
Kasi parang how would we transition that would require a lot of money, a lot of resources. Right. And we don't have the money. We don't have the resources because we're poor.
And I think that's kaya rin maganda siyang like it's an institutional thing. Kasi if you decide it per business, and dahil iba-iba nga yung mga state, mga business interest ng mga businesses.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's hard to decide on that kind of transitioning na ang basehan lang ay kung ano yung makakabuti sa business ko.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas
that's your side. Yeah. That's
pero
your motivation.
Yun, but if it's institutional, if it's like it's a whole of community, a whole of government thing approach that we are really all may buy-in talaga tayo into this transition, then it becomes a whole community thing, lahat tayo. Mm-hmm. I mean, if mapag-iwanan ka, you're going into the wrong direction, parang ganon. So,
so what we're expecting from the government, a clear roadmap, and then that they harness the resources that we need.
Right.
And then from the NGO side, pressure, more pressure. Right. I would expect more pressure. Kasi COP29 na.
29. Ilang taon ka na, Iya?
2024.
Ilang taon ka na? Nauna na sa'yo yung clean, yung cup.
Yeah, oo. Nauna na yung cup sa akin.
Tanda pa sa'yo yung cup.
Six years sa 2030 na mag-take stock na naman tayo ano yung naging progress because that's like 6 years from now, that's so fast.
Okay. Ano yung next na prediction natin?
Next prediction.
This is still yours?
More community initiatives.
More ka na naman eh.
More.
What do you mean by this? Community initiatives.
Kasi, for example, kanina nagtanungan tayo ng New Year's resolution.
Mm.
So a lot of environmental awareness, of environmental action starts with individual action. But now that people are feeling the urgency, na parang, there needs to be more. Like, for example, ako, paano pag hindi ko na nawala yung tumbler ko, lagi ko na siyang dala, lagi na akong hydrated, hindi na ako nagana ng plastic.
Mm.
Parang, di ba, makikita mo, hindi naman natatapos yung plastic production, hindi naman natatapos yung plastic pollution. Mm. And I think a lot of people who have been doing these individual lifestyle changes for the past years, that's something that they would also have realized by now.
Mm.
So, ano yung next step?
Right.
Diba? Aangkla ka dun sa community mo. So, kunyari, what we've seen during the pandemic with the community pantry, parang, pwede pala mangyari yung gano'n. Yung parang nagbibigay yung mga tao, that people can be generous enough under a crisis. Mm-mm. And I think that's something that we can also see under this climate crisis. So I think more community gardens, for food security, community farms, open spaces where people can foster a sense of community and use active transport to do their errands, mm-mm, something like that. So it's really, so it's a prediction and it's also a hope, a dream.
And then, but also, ang maganda kasi sa mga initiatives like this that are from the community is that it's always, parang lagi siyang based on their context. Mm-hmm. So what's happening in one community can be different from what's happening in another community. Yeah. They can learn from each other. Yeah. So yun yung maganda about community initiatives and really putting a spotlight on those things. And that's one of the things, I guess, that we we nagkakasundo tayo that are really important to be part of the report and that we do here at Rappler.
Yeah, because different capacities in different communities. Mm. So when they think about an environmental action that they can do in their own community, parang it's something that's within their resources, it's something that that's within their knowledge, their capacity. So, bottom-up approach. Hindi siya parang, okay, this is, the national government said, ito yung gawin. And it's also, parang, yung difference niya is, people take ownership of what they're doing. Mm-hmm. Parang, they're more connected to the action that they're taking. Parang, hindi siya requirement, hindi siya parang, nag-check lang sila ng to-do list. It's something that they're really connected with.
Yeah. And, may buy-in niya sila. Favorite. My favorite
term. Your favorite term na ginugal ko pa last year.
Ano yung sabi ng buy-in?
Ano yung buy-in na yan? Diba? Kasi pag may ownership, and I think that's something that's really important in, ano, in climate justice when we talk about just transition, mm-hmm, diba? Kasi parang people really need to feel connected to this, to these changes, na this is just, this is okay for them, that they're gonna benefit from it. It's a dream.
It's a dream. Sige, for me naman, my second prediction, hindi naman, what would like to see more in 2024 is how the Philippines will operationalize the Loss and Damage Fund. Okay. And which is definitely going to be one of the main hot topics of the year, which is kasi nga na seal na yung deal from last year. And the Philippines is actually gunning to be part of, part na siya ng seat of the Loss and Damage Board, but wants to host the Loss and Damage Fund Board. And ang sinasabi ng mga NGOs about that decision, about seeking to be a host of that fund board, is kailangan ipakita muna ng Pilipinas na kaya niya. Mm-hmm. Kunyari, the People's Survival Fund, nakakarating ba sa communities natin? Mm-hmm. Is it trickling down? Are communities being more climate resilient because of the fund? Mm-hmm. Is funding even reaching these communities? Diba? So may mga stories tayo on that na maybe we should do more, we should focus more on how we implement. Mm-hmm. Marami tayong gustong gawin, pero kailangan ipakita muna natin, especially maraming mga maraming communities na climate vulnerable in the Philippines. Mm-hmm. So, how we can be a leader in this, and we know that we have been a leader in the loss and damage discussion for decades, maybe, di ba? Kasi talagang tayo yung part na nagsimula nitong discussion na to, but how we will actually implement all those discussions in our local setting, that's one of the things that I would like to see here in the Philippines.
Pero for example, this 2024, for example, sa COP, sa COP pa ba? Abutin pa ba ng COP 29 yun?
Sana hindi.
Hindi
na.
Naman. Pero for example, or like early
sana
this year.
Sana ba din meron na tayong
may host na?
Oo. Oh, or like meron ng nangyaring beyond, you know.
Pero ikaw, do you think it would be good news for the Philippines if tayo mapili na host ng Loss and Damage Board?
I think so, kasi nga meron kang stake in how countries can access it. Mm-hmm. And then, us being one of the countries that really need it. Mm-hmm. So kumbaga, the Philippines knows what it's like to be a climate vulnerable country. So it would know, it's in a better position than other countries, I guess. Right. Relatively. Pero I agree also that we still need to know how to do that. Maraming mechanisms na kailangang ayusin in that. Kasi parang, it's a historic fun, mm-hmm. di ba? I mean, to be that the host would be one thing, mm-hmm. To be part of history books. But paano kung if we don't if we don't implement it well, then mm-hmm. you know that would still go back to us. So yeah.
Okay. So my next thing is EV.
Oh.
EV. So probably ramped up production of EVs.
Talaga? Meron na bang madami-dami na bang
meron
EVs?
Na, meron na.
Like,
pero
I know meron
ang,
na
ang, ang problema I think would be accessibility. Yun naman lagi. And I think we've seen that with the PV modernization.
Right.
Sobrang daming delays and problems and protests from different groups. Pero yeah, EV, so
mas magiging mainstream na yung use of it, like as
should
in
be, should
people
be. And the infrastructure. Yeah, yeah, the electric vehicle,
exactly.
Charging
yung
stations kailangan.
Yun ang talagang kailangan,
it's a chicken,
the
it's a chicken
stations.
And egg problem.
Right,
parang hindi ka,
right.
Gusto mo mag-EV, pero hindi ka mag-EV kasi
yeah.
Parang tatiri ka sa ano? Tatiri ka sa EDSA.
Paano
ba
mag-charge?
Charge,
right?
Diba? Kasi sobrang konti. Mm. So, probably a lot, building more infrastructure for EVs, production of EVs. Tapos, maybe not this year, pero isasama ko na rin. Hopefully, EV on public transport. So probably not this year. Probably like the railways, diba?
Pero if there's any place it buses. Should start, don't you think it should start in the public transport before it really becomes a mainstream, like car owners having electric vehicle? Hindi ba dapat mag-start siya sa?
Ideally, diba?
Yes.
Pero we have to contend with the bureaucracy. Okay. Na in the first place, hindi pa nga maayos yung public transport natin eh. Meanwhile, kasi yung EVs na pa isa-isa, individual choice kasi siya.
Right.
So if you have the money, and
you
then,
can make that decision.
And then, yeah, you can easily make that decision.
Yeah.
So, ideally, dapat nauna na yung public transport, di ba? Like, it would show that the government is really putting in the resources to electrify its public transport fleet. Pero probably that would take a long time. So,
not
patingi,
if
put, tingi,
not if the people put more pressure on the government to actually ako ala na. Kala mo hopeful ka.
Sober, hopeful. Sober.
Ah, okay. Sober. Okay. Sobering. And for our last, for my last item, ako na to, no? Ako na yung last? baka kasi meron ka pang habol eh.
Okay na ako.
For me, kung ikaw nag-end ka on a hopeful note last year, ako naman yung mag-end in a hopeful
note.
So I guess, because ang napapansin mo rin talaga sa climate journalism really is the stories get more mas parang doomsday-ish yung mga headlines and all. Pero we climate action and climate solutions come from a place of hope kasi more than urgency and more than, you know, parang, oh my God, time's up, ganyan. Although, that's also an important factor in it. Mm-hmm. Pero, I think more people will really examine their, yung, the way they live, the way their community lives, mm-hmm. Kung talagang may sense of hope that it's possible, that it can happen. So, for this year, I think part of the ano natin as a team, our environment cluster and even Sir Rappler is to really look at the cities and communities that are already doing so much when it comes to climate action. At ano yung mga doable na pwede natin gawin, ano yung mga solutions na pwedeng gawin, ano na pwedeng mangyari or could come from cities and communities that are already leading the way in climate action. So yun yung isa sa mga more stories that we want to do here at Rappler and more stories that we want to feature especially. And hopefully, magawa na, ma-feature natin sila dito sa Rappler. Magkaroon tayo ng more time to really shine that spotlight on solutions that are working. And if there are solutions that are not working, then we can, you know, ask those questions, those important questions at a very crucial, a very important time.
And you know what's fun about looking for solutions kahit medyo mahirap siya. Kasi nga, sobrang doomsday na nung when you think about, when you talk about climate, parang pag nakahanap ka ng pwedeng gawin, parang, parang meron palang gumagawa. It's possible pala.
Right.
Even kahit nasa a very local level, parang possible pala. Kasi ganun naman yung ganun naman nangyayari yung big changes Na para mag-set ka lang ng precedent na it's happened it's happening here, it's happened before. We can do it again, we can do it another way, di ba?
And you'll be surprised at what the human, I mean, human condition, what men and women can do when they take part or when they really want to, you know, find solutions for the, kasi sila yung apektado eh, sila yung unang-una eh, bago pa bumaba yung mga policies and mga laws and implementation sa level nila, nararamdaman na nila yung mga bagyo, yung drought, yung nangyayari sa kanilang mga lugar. So, you know, sila yung unang-unang hahanap ng solusyon. And those are the solutions.
Yeah, so, it's a no-brainer for them na maghanap ng solusyon.
Exactly. Like, hindi siya tipong academic. It's a way of life for them. And hopefully, mas magkaroon, for us na who do these kinds of stories and for the government, di ba, who are finding solutions hopefully for this problems of climate and environmental issues, mas magkaroon ng connect. Hindi na parang, hindi maramdaman ng mga communities that to each his own lang or hindi sila malimit ng resources that are available to them.
And our job is to put a spotlight on these communities and what they're doing.
And connect that, the policy and the, you know, the what the communities are doing. And hopefully,
so much work to do for this year.
Better world.
So much work to do.
Yeah.
Pero, anyway, so that's it for today's episode. If you have questions or if you want to continue this conversation, please download the new Rappler Communities app. Kahit iOS or Android ng mobile devices nyo, it's now available at the Apple App Store and Google Play Store. Just search for Rappler Communities. So once you download the app, please join the Climate Change channel and the other channels.
Best channel.
Best channel. If you want a conversation, head on over to the Climate Change channel and just pitch your thoughts, contribute story ideas kung meron kayo. And yan.
We can continue this discussion. Ano kaya ang predictions nyo for 2024? What stories do you want to see from Rappler?
Right.
When it comes to the environment.
That's it. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye.